21st verse. Matthew 17, from the 14th verse to the 21st verse. Shall we rise on our feet as we honor the Lord? Let's honor the Lord by rising on our feet and reading the word of God together from verse 14. One to go. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and so vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him thither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Stop there first. Why could we? Come on, just say that. Ask that question. Why couldn't? Why are we not able? Why won't this mountain move? Let's go on. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Glory be to Jesus. I title today's message, why won't this mountain move? Why won't this mountain move? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. Your word is a gift unto us. As we go into your word today, let every heart be open to receive it. Let there be divine illumination that will enlighten us and remove our ignorance and replace it with understanding, revelation, divine insight that is needed and necessary for our transformation. We thank you because we trust you will do much more than we have asked. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for having your way in our midst today. As I surrender myself under your divine intelligence right now, thank you that the word that proceeds out of my mouth this day shall be life-giving, shall be life-building, shall be life-transforming to the glory of God and to the advancement of his kingdom. We thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Why won't this mountain move? Why won't it move? You know, we live in the world of darkness, of chaos and crisis. The Bible says that in these last days, there will be perilous times. So the times that we are living in right now are uncertain times. And when things are uncertain, we need to seek after that which is stable in uncertain times. Praise the Lord. God is looking for the faithful ones is at such a time as this. He's looking out for the faithful ones. Now, my question to you this morning, beloved, is, will he find you as one of the faithful ones? Will he find you? Will you be found of him as one of the faithful ones in this time of uncertainty that we live in? In these perilous times that the whole world is in right now, will he find you? Will he find me? And say, these are my faithful ones. And my prayer is that you will be among them. Amen. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now let's go into the word and let's see what it will take for him to see us and say, these are my faithful ones. The story in our text today, it's a very, very interesting one, because it's something that we ought to be able to relate with in our daily walk with God. These are the disciples of Jesus Christ who in their daily walk encountered some difficulties. They encountered some oppositions, so to say. There was a mountain that was before them, a mountain of impossibility, because they tried their hands on something and they did not get the kind of results they desired or they hoped for. They had expectations, but their expectations were cut off. It did not produce the kind of satisfaction that they were expecting to receive from it. And so obviously, they are confused. But maybe in your own life, you also have experienced this, or you are experiencing it right now, facing some level of mountain of impossibility. What makes it impossible? It is because you have put in certain level or measure of effort for a change of story, but the story is still not changing. The story is still not changing. And in life, we face this in our work, where we are confronted with situations and conditions in our own lives, and to us, we are doing all that we know to do, except that it is not transforming the situation. The story is not transforming to a glory. Hello, somebody. And you can get to a point where you are completely frustrated and disappointed. But this is how a lot of Christians, you know, deal with such situations. When you have prayed and you believe God, so to say, for something, and then you are not seeing it, we tend to give up on it. And we are like, let me move on. Hello? Let me move on to another prayer point. You know, I said something last week. I said, look, it's not about 1,000 prayer points that you have. Hello? You see, before you go to God in prayer, I mean, the Bible talks in James chapter 5, he talks about the prayer of faith will save the sick. Okay? A prayer of faith. Now, you cannot tell me you are praying a prayer of faith and then you don't see the result and you just let it go. Why are you praying a prayer of faith? Why do you even pray at all? Because those who do the praying must be those who believe in prayer. why would you want to give up and say, let me move on to the next prayer point? If you cannot believe that God will answer prayer A, where is your belief that he will answer prayer B? Because if he can believe prayer A, then he will believe prayer B. Maseke poshata. Glory to God. If God can get you a job, he can heal sickness. If God can put roof over your head, he can put food on your table. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So I cannot give up a roof over my head and say, let me move on to food that I will eat. Because it is the same God. Praise God forevermore. The disciples went to Jesus after they have done all they know to do. The Bible said, the father of this child that was sick came to Jesus and said, what can you do for my son? I brought him to your disciples. They could not cure him. I like one thing that the disciples did. And this, you see, this is where a lot of us Christians, we just miss it. I've said it many times here that it is not about being presumptuous about what God is going to do. It's not about the answer. It is about asking the right questions. Many of us never make a demand on anything that God has written in his word. If what God wrote and the manifestation in my life is not in alignment with it, I want to know why. I don't know about you. You see, this is important. Rather than you leaving it and moving on to the next one, you never really understand God. You will never really know God if you do not really get into a conversation with him. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You can't. God will just be some deity that is up there. You will not be able to have really an experience and an encounter with God to the point where you know him. You know the way he walks. You know the way he talks. You know the way he thinks. Hello? And when you do know that, in your secret place, when you come out to the open, you will not become an embarrassment. Glory to God. There is nothing wrong in asking. Remember Joshua? When Joshua and the children of Israel were defeated at the battle at Ai, what happened? Joshua went to God to do what? To inquire of the Lord. Why did we lose the battle? Ai was the smallest village to conquer. And that was the next place for them to conquer after they conquered Jericho, the biggest of the mountain of impossibility. It was destroyed. Now the next one was a minute something. A hut. And the people, they fled from their enemies. They turned back and ran away. What did Joshua do? Why couldn't we defeat? Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. You cannot leave a mountain before you and wishing the mountain will move until you know why the mountain is not moving. Glory to God. Why is lack not giving way to abundance in my life? You need to know. Why is this sickness not leaving my body? Why am I knocking on the door of organizations and nobody is calling me? Why am I looking for business here and there? And nobody is considering my applications. Hello, somebody. Why do I open a shop and there are no customers? You must ask questions. Praise the Lord. It is in your asking questions that you gain understanding, have a revelation of what you will need to do to make that mountain move. Praise God. Praise the living Jesus. So obviously, the disciples of Jesus, I mean, they've been walking with Jesus. Jesus has been performing so many miracles. And he has sent them out also. And they encountered a mountain. In the life of a young boy. That made the demand on the anointing that is upon their lives. Praise God. You know what those trials and challenges in your life is demanding. It is demanding your anointing. Glory be to Jesus. That's what it's demanding. So the mountain came to them demanding a response from their anointing. To draw an anointing that will heal the boy. Amen. But nothing happened. The mountain did not move. Hello. I'll just give you a moment. Think about the mountains that are before you right now in your life. Now, mountain stands for any opposition, any challenge to your progress in destiny. It's a mountain. It could be a long-standing habit. It's a mountain. Hello? Yeah. It could be a habit. It could be an emotional weakness. I mean, this morning, the reason why, you know, I was a bit behind time was because I had so many cars that blocked my car. Hello? Whether you like it or not, it's a mountain. I needed to progress. Praise the Lord. I needed to move forward. But there were mountains blocking my way. Two of the mountains are gigantic because of the person that owned the cars that were in front of me. Not an easy neighbor. You'll be lucky even if you knock on their door and they answer. Yeah. And if they answer, they will first attack you. Is what I've experienced before. So when I got out and I saw the type of mountain, I said, Holy Ghost, what are you saying? Is it because of the message you gave me today? So I must first be first partaker of this challenge. Hello? Come on. Physician, heal thyself. So I said, what would you do? I told my son, who owns this? He said, I don't know who owns this car. So what do? We know who owns this one. But we know that this guy is a difficult person. What are we going to do? So I said, go and knock on their door. When he went up, I began to pray. I said, this mountain that is before me today, I command you, be moved and be cast yonder. In the name of Jesus, let the owners of this vehicle not have rest now. Let the angels arrest them, wherever they are, until they come down. Glory be to Jesus. So, my son came down, and shortly after, I saw the man. I said, eh? The man came down. And of course, the screwed up face. I'm not blocking you. I'm not blocking anybody. The car is right. Two of his cars are in front of my car. He says he's not blocking anybody. You know that the devil wants to start something this morning. And I needed to let the devil know you are under my feet. So don't even try. Stay on your own side of the lane. I'm not ready for you. And you know, Ah, God is wonderful. When you see somebody that wants to attack, he wants to, you don't see. It's not about attacking them back. So immediately the man walked next to me and said, good morning, sir. I'm sorry we had to disturb you. He said, you see, I'm talking to every time I'm the one that people will come and go. He was raving and ranting. I allowed him to do whatever he wants to do. And I said, please, sir, if only you can move your car, we will be able to go. I said, are you not the owner of this? He said, this is my car. I said, what about that? Hey, it's my wife's car. Then I stood in front of him, looking at him. He had no choice but to go back upstairs to pick the key for the wife's car, moved the wife's car, moved his own car for us to move out. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. If I was ranting and raving and doing that, we'll still be there. And the man will get more annoyed. He will just walk upstairs and not come back. And there's nothing we can do. Glory be to Jesus. Say it to yourself. This mountain that is standing before me. This unyielding mountain. This stubborn mountain. Today, you will move. In the name of Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One thing that is evident by what is playing out in our lives, playing out in the life of many believers who have mountains before them that are not moving, is still this issue of unbelief. Now, we have established something. A mountain that is not moving, a mountain that is unyielding, a mountain that is stubborn, would demand some level of scrutiny from us. Number one, you need to write that down. You need to scrutinize by asking why. And you must know from whom you are asking. It has to be from the Lord. So if you're asking today and say, Lord, why isn't this mountain? Why won't it move? Why won't it move out of my family? Why won't it move? Why won't this mountain of poverty, lack, inability to meet basic necessities of life, you know, just struggling, financially struggling in every area. Why won't this mountain move? The disciples did the right thing. And that's what you and I must always do. What they could not do, they wanted to know why they couldn't do it. The devil will want to give you a reason or an excuse why you couldn't move your mountain. He will tell you it's because the mountain is supposed to be there. He will tell you that the mountain is your bus stop. You are not supposed to see a higher level of accomplishment in life. And he will begin to give you reasons and excuses why you should accept the mountain remaining in that place. That's what the devil, that's his plan, that's his mission. And he will bring certain things to your memory, either within your family, either your past, pursuance. Past efforts, labors that you have made to move forward in life. And then it didn't work. He will bring it to your remembrance. That, you see, did you not try last year? Did you not try it two years ago? Did you not pray the prayer? Maybe they lay hands on you. What is it? Don't move. Maybe this is where you are supposed to stay. Maybe you are not one of the people that should move ahead or to progress beyond where you are. But I come to tell somebody today that is a lie of the devil. That the devil is a liar. Glory be to Jesus. We are not designed to be restricted from glory. And I believe, God, that your story will change today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So they did the first thing. When the father of the boy brought him before Jesus Christ, I said, your disciples could not kill him. And hear what Jesus said, and this is very important, in verse 17. Jesus answered, O faithless and perverse generation. Now, this is really crucial. Faithless. Why would Jesus refer to the disciples as faithless? Because there is a mountain that is standing before them and they were unable to remove the mountain. Now, not because they have not been given the authority to do so. Beloved, you need to know that. You have the authority to move the mountain. The authority has been given unto you. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority to tread upon what? Scorpions and serpents, and to overcome all the powers of the enemy, and nothing, absolutely nothing, shall by any means hurt you. So we already have the authority to move the mountain. Whatever mountain of impossibility that is standing before you right now, you already have the authority to move the mountain. So you are not just, that's why Jesus said, you guys are faithless. That is the problem. The mountain is not your problem because you have the authority to move it. The problem is that you are faithless. The devil wants to keep our focus on our trials to the point where we see the mountain as bigger than our God. But there is no mountain that is bigger than our God. Our God is bigger than the biggest. He's stronger than the strongest. He's higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He's the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise God. Hallelujah. But the devil wants our focus to be on that mountain of challenge that we are facing, blocking our way to progress, blocking our way to abundance, blocking our way to a greater accomplishments in life. And anytime we put our focus on it, the mountain becomes bigger and insurmountable, and our God becomes smaller. So it is not that God shrank, but faithlessness makes your God look smaller than your mountain. So Jesus said, you faithless and perverse generation. Perverse means to behave contrary to the accepted and expected standard of practice. To behave contrary to an accepted practice. What is the accepted practice? It is the principles of the kingdom of God and the values of the kingdom. And the Bible tells us that the principle of the kingdom is a principle of faith. Hello? That the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. The just shall live by faith. Faith is our lifestyle in the kingdom of God. For we do not walk by sight, but by faith. Glory to God. Every blessing of God that comes to you, you receive it by faith. And faith is a practical demonstration of your confidence in God and in His word. How do you get that confidence? Why weren't this disciple confident enough to tell the mountain, get thee, move, and then they believe that that the mountain moved. Glory to God. Because any mountain, through your challenges that you are experiencing in your life right now, beloved, you must first move that mountain in the spirit. Because the Bible makes us to understand that the things that we are seeing are not made out of the thing that we can see. Glory be to Jesus. And that takes faith. Faith is the instrument, the force that will bring down something from the spirit realm and bring it to the realm of the natural. It is the faith that is the only thing that can bring it. It's faith that will bring your next level. It is faith that will bring your healing. It is faith that will bring your financial breakthrough. It is faith that will bring your next level of promotion. It is faith that will bring your new stream of income. It takes faith to receive anything that grace has supplied. It takes faith. And God has been dealing with us. Yeah, for the past 3 Sundays, he's been talking about faith. Hitting your heart and hitting my heart with it. You cannot afford to be faithless. Everything depends on you believing me that I can do what I said I can do. You've got to believe it. I don't know where you are. I don't know what life has handed over to you. I don't know what keeps you awake in the middle of the night and you are saying this mountain of impossibility. How? Why won't it move? God is saying to you today, you cannot afford to be faithless. And you cannot behave in a manner that is contrary to the practice of the kingdom. And be expecting that the kingdom blessings will be released unto you. That was Jesus' first response to the situation at hand. Hello. How long shall I be with you? How long do I have to put up with this? How long? He said, how long do I have to be with you? You still do not get it? That one, you have the authority to move the mountain. Number two, you cannot afford to be faithless. You cannot afford to be perverse, behaving contrary to the principles of the kingdom of God. And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. From that very hour. Now, something I want you to know here. Jesus, the Bible said, from that very hour. Now, he didn't say immediately. He didn't say instantly. Because somehow, not because it couldn't be instant, but in this particular situation, the Bible recorded that from that hour, healing came. From that hour, healing showed up. The boy was cured. In other words, when you speak to that mountain, and you say, you this mountain of impossibility, you this unyielding and unrepentant mountain that has been standing before me, not allowing me to move to a new level of productivity and fruitfulness in life, be moved and be cast into the sea. Hello? Now, if some of us do not see an instant transformation, then we lose hope. We give up. We are disappointed. We are disillusioned. We are discouraged. I say, my prayer then. Then you leave it. You start praying another prayer. Hello? Hello? How would you want that prayer to be answered? The faith you didn't have on this one is the same faith that is required for that one. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's why faith is a lifestyle. It's not something you go and conjure for a particular season of your life. We'll talk more about that. Glory to God. So he said, from that hour, the boy was killed. Then came the disciples. Why? They saw the same mountain that they couldn't move. They saw it moved. Hallelujah. They saw it move. That's why sometimes when you see people stand and they give a testimony in the congregation of the saints, they testify of the goodness and the faithfulness of God in their lives. And then to some people, I've seen people who are discouraged by other people's testimonies. They are not wicked people. Okay? So don't judge them. But I know that in our natural selves, we tend to sometimes view the success of our neighbors as a source of discouragement for us. Because something is happening for them and it is not happening for us. So even other people's success could actually be a discouragement, a disillusionment for others. But it's not supposed to be. And thanks be unto God that the disciples of Jesus Christ refused to wallow in discouragement. Rather, they wanted to know why. Why did it happen for Sister Tutu, for Brother Bambo, and it didn't happen for me? If only I can know why it didn't happen, then I will know how to do what they did to get what they got. Glory to God. A stingy person is praying for financial breakthrough. It's not coming. Your mountain will be bigger until you learn to give. Glory to God. So when you see people who are giving testimonies, they had this financial breakthrough here, they have this one. Nothing just happens, beloved. The Bible says, to them that give, it shall be given back unto them. If you are not giving anything, why do you want to receive anything back? Glory to God. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. They came to Jesus. Why could not we cast him out? That's the question. And in verse 20, Jesus responded to their question. So when you ask God question, wait to receive the answer. He will answer you. Many of us are asking questions, but we are not diligent enough to receive the answer. We are not. Father, I want to know about this situation. What is it that I'm doing that I'm not supposed to be doing? Or what is it that I'm supposed to do that I'm not doing? Lord, reveal it to me. Then after that, you pick the phone and phone your friends. Or you check your WhatsApp and you are just generally chatting on your Facebook and all that. No, you are not diligent enough to receive an answer. You are not even quiet in your spirit to hear what the Spirit of God will say to you on the inside. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. So Jesus answered their question. He said, because of your unbelief. Did you hear that? Because of your unbelief. That is the reason why the mountain did not move. You do not believe. A lot of people tell me, they have faith. I said, which faith? Do you believe? I told you last Sunday? I said faith is in two places. Where are the two places that I said faith must come from? Yes, my sister? Heart and your mouth. Two places. Your heart and your mouth. Some people have faith in their mouth. In other words, they are just confessing logos. Logos meaning the letter of the word. You just pick out scripture. But if it is not from the heart, it does not carry that life of God enough in the seed of your faith to bring about a transformation. Your faith must be living and it must be active. Living faith, not a dead faith and not a dying faith. Hallelujah. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now I love that because a lot of people will say, yes, you know these people, they are pastors, they are men of God. So you see, their faith is very, very big. Do you know how tiny a mustard seed is? Very tiny. Very, very tiny. And he said, if your faith is like that size, it is enough to move that mountain that won't move in your life right now. Hello? So it is not the bigness of the faith. It is the life of God in the seed of my faith. Now, let us go into that. How do I get the life of God, glory be to Jesus, into the seed of my faith? How do I get that life? Because that life of God is what strengthens your faith and makes your faith bigger than the mountain. It's the life of God. And if you want the life of God in the seed of your faith, there are certain things that you must give attention to. Number one, quickly, let's begin to look into it. Number one, you must believe. And that's what Jesus told them. You've got to believe. You cannot afford to be faithless. You cannot. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Yeah. Glory be to Jesus. Let me read the Message translation of Matthew 17, the verse 17 of our text today to you. And see how Jesus reacts to these things. When we do not believe him, that he's able to do what he said he's able to do. He said, what a generation. No sense of God. In other words, it's not about coming to church. It's not about we are the ones that are the usher. We are the ones that are in the choir. You are all those ones. He said, they have no sense of God. In other words, they can't even sense God. You see, when you say that you are a Christian, and on your job or wherever you are, you are still not sensitive of the presence of God wherever that you are. Beloved, you still have a lot of work to do in the closet of prayer and getting to know God. Hallelujah. Every Christian, every believer, every child of God, kingdom citizen, must be conscious of God's presence wherever they are, because you carry God on the inside. Praise God forevermore. He's on the inside. And you just cannot, whether you are in your office, whether you are in your business place, in the marketplace, in your recreation place, anywhere that you are, you must be conscious of God's presence. Because you are there, because you carry God, the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, you have to be sensitive to that, that God is around. Glory to God. So he said, oh, what a generation. No sense of God. No focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? How much longer do I have to put up with your faithlessness? Your unbelief. When will you believe? Hallelujah. So the first thing, have faith in God. That is, believe God. You've got to believe whatever God says. Believe it. And many a times, the reason why our belief in him is really not strong enough is because we do not spend quality time in God's presence. We don't spend quality time in God's presence. One of our brothers was sharing the testimony here that one of our sisters, when she's talking, I mean, it's like she and God are just, they chat. You know, that between her and God, you know, they have a wee chat. Glory to God. And he said, he too, I said, me too, I covet this spiritual gift too. Glory to God. You've got to get to that point. In fact, is it not somebody you are close to that you want to go to and ask why something didn't happen? It's based on the level of your relationship. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But many of us, we have not taken our relationship with God to that kind of a level. Close to him. That he is close to us, we are close to him. You can fellowship with God. You can have a divine encounter with God on your own. You know you can attract God into your challenge. Amen. How was Moses in the book of Exodus? Something happened to Moses after he ran away from Egypt. And then he encountered God. Did he not? In the wilderness. He encountered God. But when God wanted to send him out, he knew there would be mountains before him because he's going before Pharaoh. In order for deliverance of the people, hallelujah, he knew there was going to be a mountain standing between him and the deliverance of the people of Israel. And what is the mountain? It is Pharaoh and his chariots. So God said, you need to prepare yourself so that when you face the mountain, you will be able to move the mountain. So he told him, the rod in your hand, now throw it down. Glory be to God. You all know the story. He said, throw it down. The Bible says he threw it down and he became a snake. Eh? Ah. Hey. This is another level. Glory to God. He said, this is another level. He threw it. He said, now pick it up. He picked it up and he turned back into a rod. And it was just him and God. It was just Moses and God at the back of the desert. Glory be to Jesus. He was getting, you know, close to God, fellowshipping with him, knowing how God thinks, knowing how, and that was increasing his faith. He was making his faith stronger. The life of God was being released unto him. Hallelujah. To strengthen his faith as at that time. So that when he faced Pharaoh, he would not be intimidated by the size of Pharaoh. Glory to God. And that was what happened. By the time he came out and got into Pharaoh's palace, what happened? He spoke the word of God. He said, God said, let my people go that they may serve me. And Pharaoh said, who is your God? He said, check this out. Took the rod. What he had practiced. So, beloved, what you have not done in the secret place, you cannot do in the public place. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Because he had tried it, because he saw God turn a rod to a snake and turn it back to a rock, he said, let me throw down. He threw it down, it became a snake. Glory to Jesus. And what happened? The mountain still didn't move.
The magicians brought their own rod. It also turned into a snake. But because of the confidence that Moses had in his God, because he had been with God in the back of the desert, he had the confidence that there is no mountain that is bigger than the power of God. And what happened? God proved it, because his own snake swallowed their own snake. I don't know the mountain that the enemy has placed to resist you, to stop you, limit you from going forward in life. By the power in the name of Jesus, I command that mountain, be moved and be cast yonder. Be moved in the name of Jesus. Be moved in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So believe. Identify the route by doing what the disciples did. Why couldn't I move this mountain? He said, because you are faithless. He said, because of your unbelief. You didn't believe in your heart. You are just speaking words, but you don't believe what you are speaking. Amen. Hallelujah. Number three, you've got to be persistent. Be persistent. Persistence always wins. Where every other thing has failed, persistence wins there. You don't give up. Glory to God. So believe. How do I believe? Unequivocally. Spend time. Quality time. In God's presence, so that the seed of your faith can receive the life of God. And once it receives it and you are confident, your mountain will be smaller, it will shrink and shrink. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So Jesus said, "If you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible for you." God is saying to someone today, if you choose to believe me that that mountain is going to move, if you choose to believe me today, if you choose to spend quality time with me, if you choose to fellowship with my spirit, if you choose to want to know me, you will speak to that mountain and it will move. It won't come back. Glory be to Jesus. You will say it, and as you say it, that is exactly what is going to happen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So let's stop playing and just playing church and, you know, hear what else Jesus says. Because we're looking at what they need to do to move the mountain. Verse 21, our last verse. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and by fasting. By prayer and by fasting. You see, when we talk about prayer, a lot of people do all sorts of things. Gymnastics, as I call them. Spiritual gymnastics. And say that they are praying. When all the time of your prayer, it is the devil that you are binding, then you are not in the presence of God. Hello? This is the problem that a lot of Christians are facing. They can spend 4 hours, 5 hours. In fact, some will separate themselves and say, I'm going to the mountain. And all the prayer they are praying there, Baba, Fomoloju, Komolakba, come on, let's say. You just to bind the devil and binding and losing and back. But you see, what they are saying does not carry power. Because power flows primarily through relationship. So if you have not been in relationship, you have not been intimate, you haven't had a divine encounter, your word will not carry enough fire to move the mountain. You just be speaking. What you are speaking is logos, is not rhema. Jesus says, the word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Why? Because he continually separates himself to speak to the Father. Is there in the Bible? He didn't say he separated himself to go and bind the devil. No. He first separates himself to fellowship with the Father. Then he comes out. Then he binds the devil. Glory to God. Amen. It's all about God. Beloved, if you are given just 3 hours, use 2 hours, 59 minutes to fellowship with God. Bless his name. Praise him. Worship him. Pick your Bible. Talk to God. Ask questions. Hallelujah. And use the last minute to tell the devil, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And it will be so. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Spend more time in worshiping God. Not spending time in the presence of the devil. Hello? I'm sure you caught something there. So there is already a transformation. Your story is changing today. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So beloved, just continue to do what God has told you to do. Hold your course. Hold your course. Don't give up. And you will see with your very eyes, you will see that mountain. That stubborn mountain, that unrepentant and unyielding mountain. There's some people that have seen some prayer points that said, this unrepentant mountain that has defied prayers. I said, there is no mountain that has defied prayer. Is that prayer that has an issue? Because it's not a prayer of faith. Glory be to Jesus. No mountain will defy a prayer of faith. That's what Jesus told them. This one goeth not, but by what? By prayer and fasting. Many of us, is only when the church declares fast. That's when you fast. Hello? That's when you fast. You have not fasted that this mountain must move. Glory be to Jesus. You have not fasted. You see, sometimes God needs to see. He needs to see the willingness in your heart for the removal of this mountain. How serious. He needs to see the seriousness in you that you actually want a change of story by what you are willing to give to it. Are you willing on your own to spend quality time with God? I say, God, I'm not even going out. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to stay with you in my room. I'll pick your Bible. I say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Where should I open? Where should I read? Where is the answer to my question? How can I move this mountain? What do I need to employ? What do I need to engage? Glory to God. And you begin to talk and you are silent in God's presence. There is no way God will answer you. Jesus answered them. If he answered them, he will also answer you. Amen? Amen. And you add fasting to it. As I'm willing to deny myself of my necessary food. If need be, don't wait until the church declares 21 days or 40 days fasting before you decide you are going to fast. Put yourself on a fast. So that you can put your body down, your flesh down, so that your spirit can be more in tuned to receive divine signal with utmost accuracy. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Beloved, God is revealing to you today that the mountain that is standing before you is movable. Hallelujah. It's movable. It will move until you give it. When you give it, what it requires of you. And what it requires, you already possess. You have the authority to move the mountain. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to you. Rise on your feet. Do you receive that word today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Manifest. Lift up your two hands. Spirit of God, show the world that you are God. Reveal your glory. Reveal your power, and the world will know that you are God. Beloved, turn it to prayer right now. That God should reveal himself. When the mountain is moved, the glory of God will be revealed. Enough is enough. This mountain must move. So that the glory of God will be made manifest in my life. Manifest. So that I also can have testimonies of victory, of success, testimonies of progress, progress on the job, progress financially, progress spiritually, so that I can thrive, I can begin to thrive. You heard a sister say that wherever I am, the word of God says it's my thriving season. So whether I'm in the desert, I'm in the wilderness, I will thrive. Why? Because of the life of God. Without the life of God, nothing thrives. Begin to pray. Father, manifest your glory. That's the only prayer point we have. Manifest your glory. Fill me with the life of your spirit. Release that grace to stay in fellowship with you. The grace to stay and remain in fellowship with the Spirit of God continually. Release the grace upon me, O Lord. Breathe a breath of life. Breathe your breath of life into my situation and circumstances. And glorify yourself through my life as the mountains begin to move. As I speak to every mountain in my life, Father Lord, let your life flow through me and move every mountain. Manifest, yes, we pray, Lord. Spirit of God, show the world that you are my God. Reveal your glory, reveal your power, and the world will know that you are God. Come on, join me to sing it. Manifest, Spirit of God, show the world that you are God. Reveal your glory, reveal your power, and the world will know that you are God. One more time. Raise up your voice. Manifest. Yes. Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, manifest in this place. Show the world. Manifest in every life. What? Prove to them that you are the true and the living God. Reveal your glory. Reveal your glory. Reveal your power, Lord,
that the world will know that you are God.
So shall it be for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus Christ. Every mountain that the enemy has prepared to withstand the glory of God in your life this week, I command it to be moved in the name of Jesus. You will walk in the path of destiny, unrestricted, unlimited. I sentence you to limitless possibilities, opportunities this season in the mighty name of Jesus. So shall it be for you. I decree it to be established for you in your life, and I call it done by the faith of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Put your hands together for Jesus.